Hi, your 11s. It's Mr. Shirley here. We haven't done an episode in a little while, but we're aiming to try and give you guys at least one episode on every little aspect of, especially the literature content for your exams. I mean, there's a lot to do, which is why, as you can probably hear, I'm cooking in the background. So I'm just going to talk to you a little bit while I'm having something to eat, pretty much. Today's episode, I'm just going to give you a little bit of background and breakdown of Eric Burling's character and the role that he plays in An Inspector Calls, as well as the key themes that he relates to. Now, it's a good practice to get into when you're revising that as you go over a character, have something to eat like I am, but as you go over a character, you also kind of connect not just what their character does, but what themes and ideas the author is trying to connect that character to. So by looking at what theme or ideas the character is connected to, you can kind of break down what exactly you think the author's message is, why they wrote the character that way. Remember, an author has all the time in the world. They can write the piece however they want to. So you need to make sure that in your essay you're breaking down why the author chose to write the character in a certain way, why they chose to present the character in a certain way. And what I'm going to talk about today, like I said, is Eric and how he's written and presented. And as I do that, I'm going to have myself something to eat. I'll try to pause so you don't have to listen to me chewing. So Eric Burling's character. One of the things we want to look at when we're looking at the way that Priestley presented him, the way that Priestley wrote him into the play, is, I mean, for the entirety of the play, we have to presume that he's drunk, right? Right away, at the very start, there's a little playful argument between Eric and his sister Sheila, and she calls him Squiffy. Why would we point that out right away? Well, we want to kind of keep in mind, maybe, that Eric's character could possibly actually be drunk for the entirety of the play. Now, what does that mean? Why did the author choose to write him in that way? That aspect of Eric Burling is what I'm going to be breaking down for you in this episode, okay? So basically, if you want an LO, it's to understand why Eric Burling is drunk in the play. Now, what do we know about Eric? We know that he impregnated Eva. We know that he stole money from his father. We know that he's a little bit left-wing, which means he cares for people in the community, especially Eva, who kind of represents the working class, the lower class, and women who have a lack of freedom in the world. So we can say that he's left-wing, and he has very socialist, community-oriented values because the things he does for Eva, and the way he argues with his father, who's very certainly very right-wing, we can see, like I said, that Eric is very left-wing because he is caring for those people that are in need. Now remember, one characteristic of left-wing politics is that it favors government intervention in order to help people, to provide public goods like public health care, public schooling, public funded welfare, things like that. And that all comes through taxation. So when you make money, you would be taxed, and that money goes to the government and goes back into the community. That's the idea of a socialist value and taxation that Mr. Burling, especially as a capitalist, really disagrees with. So one thing we want to keep aware of that most of us probably already know is that Eric Burling is represented as an antithesis. He's the opposite of his own father, and his own father's very rigid, traditional, you could say greedy, capitalist views. But an interesting thing to keep in mind is that Eric isn't, you know, just because Eric shares the views of Priestley doesn't mean he's an angel, doesn't mean he's perfect. And that is shown in the fact that he's drunk, right? Even though we can say that he's morally superior to his father, he has better morals because he cares about those in need. He questions his father when his father talks about not providing a raise for Eva Smith and the other girls.
and the fact that he stole money from his father to give to Eva when she was in need. So we can say that because of those things, he's kind of like the moral superior to his father, but not exactly. So, firstly, one thing we can say is that because he's stolen money from his father to give to Eva when she was in need, we can see that as a metaphor for taxation. The idea of taking money from the rich, not necessarily taking money, but taking away some of the money from the rich to give towards people that are in need, like Eva, like the poor, like people who, you know, can't afford an income because of their family history or whatever. But it's really good to note that Eric doesn't just give money of his own to Eva. He steals it, right? So we, as much as we want to call him a moral superior for leaning towards these left-wing values that we know Priestley believed in himself, the fact that he's stealing money kind of troubles that a little bit. One thing about the play that we can say is that there's hope that the younger generation will change society for the better, and that the younger generation will start to do things like care more for the community, unlike Mr. and Mrs. Burling. But they're still immature in their approach. Eric is very immature, obviously because of the fact that he stole money, right? He is trying to fix a problem, but he hasn't done it the right way. So as much as we want to say that, yes, he is taking on board the right ideas of giving to the poor, it's not quite there yet. He's still a little bit immature in the way that he goes about fixing these problems. So you could say that while Priestley is trying to suggest that the younger generation is going to provide hope and is going to provide good social change, at the same time, they're not quite there, represented in the immaturity of Eric. And you could also say in the immaturity of Sheila. You know, she starts off the start of the play still calling her father daddy, which is a very immature thing. So even though the characters are there to represent the hope that Priestley sees and the drive towards more left-wing, socialist, sharing, community-based politics, they're still too immature and they need to realize the reality of the world and the toughness of the world that they live in and do things properly. They need to, in a sense, grow up. So as much as they're a symbol of hope, at the same time, there is this pressing message from Priestley that, you know, they're still very immature in their approach of providing good change to society, and things need to be thought through, perhaps. This could also be seen in the way that Eric doesn't really have civilized conversations with his father. If you think about a civilized political debate, that's not what we see between Eric and his father. They escalate things into arguments immediately, which, as much as we could say that's because of the stubbornness of Mr. Burling, we could also say that that's also from the immaturity of Eric and not being able to actually handle these problems and discuss these problems fully yet. Maybe by the end of the play, he gains that knowledge, but at the start, he's really still too immature to actually voice his opinions in a calm and effective manner. But our goal for today was to talk about why is Eric drunk? So you could see his drunkenness as also being reflective of that immaturity, the inability to actually control himself properly and control his ideas and his political views. Just like he can't control himself when it comes to alcohol. But let's also think, what has Eric done? Again, he impregnated Eva. Now, there's two ways you can look at his drunkenness. You could A, say that his drunkenness comes from what he has done to Eva. That means he has a very guilty conscience. He met Eva in the pub. Maybe she didn't like him as much as he liked her. Maybe he felt a little, he didn't feel bad for her at first and used her like a prostitute. Remember, she was at the Palace Bar, which was known for prostitutes. And maybe because he felt so guilty with himself afterwards, that's what led him to the drunkenness. That he knew that he impregnated her, that he knew that she would no longer take the money. Perhaps the drunkenness then is a sign of his own moral conscience and the fact that he is feeling guilty for what he's done to Eva,
very much unlike his father. On the other hand, the second thing you could say is that Eric, his drunkenness is what caused him to do those things to Eva in the first place. So it's either that we can say as a sign that he does have a conscience, the drunkenness is his guilt coming out for what he's done, or that he is so immature that he couldn't control his drinking habits and made Eva pregnant. Now, it's always good to remember that in the essay, in your exam, when you have an essay question, exploring different viewpoints on the same thing is going to help boost up your mark, right? If you can comment on a couple different interpretations of a single event in the play, that's going to be very beneficial for you in your marking and your analysis of the author's methods. So if you want to accept the idea that Eric, his drunkenness, is what caused him to do those things to Eva, we could kind of say that at the start of the play and in the past, before the play even happened, that he was very much like his father, that he didn't think about others. He only thought about his own enjoyment, right? His father only cares about, Mr. Burling only cares about gaining money and getting more money for himself and his family and his factory and taking care of himself. Eric is a bit of a hedonist, maybe, that at the start, all he cares about is feeling good, having a drink, having a laugh, getting sex from someone like Eva. But then things kind of spiral out of control, and he then starts to feel guilty after he realizes. His guilt could also be seen in the way that as soon as the inspector comes, Eric gets out of there. He knows what's happened. So that could also be another thing that hints at his guilt. So, and both of those, his drunkenness and his inability to just stay and talk to the inspector and confront the issues that the inspector brings out, are another thing that represent his immaturity. So, like I said at the very, very start of this, our LO, I guess, for this talk, speech, whatever, is why is Eric drunk in the play, right? It's just like the fact that he leaves when the inspector comes in, just like the fact that he can't have a simple, calm conversation with his father. His drunkenness is really a representation of Eric's immaturity. And the suggestion from the Priestley that even though the younger generation are changing in the play and are going to hopefully affect change in the society, they're not there yet, right? They're still too immature in the beginning and middle stages of the play. So remember, alternate viewpoints are a very beneficial thing for your exam. So keep all of those in mind. We don't want to just analyze characters in a single way that they only represent one thing. We want to look at the other sides of things. Yes, the characters do represent hope, but a perceptive point you could make would be that the hope and their action and the solution to the society's problems isn't quite there yet, which is represented by Eric's drunken immaturity. So, that's it from me. Bye.